Thank you for listening to this week's message from Life Church. We pray you gain understanding and encouragement from this podcast. For more information or to connect with us, please visit us at lcwashpod.org.
Good morning. Holy Spirit is so wonderful and so faithful. I walked into the prayer room this morning and I heard my dear prayer warrior Denise praying, "Lord, strengthen the weary today and those that are weary." And I'm like, that's exactly what I was hearing. And I just, as I came before the Lord, I just heard the words of that he spoke to Isaiah and said, "I've given you an instructed tongue to say what to say to the weary ones." How many of you are a little battle weary? It's been a year, hasn't it? We've just had one thing after another. And then as we began to worship, and we just thank you, Heidi, as we sang, as it looks like we're surrounded. And you know, when we sing that song, we remember that those that are for us are more than those that are against us. That when we lift our eyes, and Pastor said this, if you're looking and seeing your enemy, lift up your eyes. The prophet Elisha said to his servant, he said, "Look up." And he said, "Lord, open his eyes." And what did he behold? The armies of heaven all around him. I will have a word for you today. How many of you know that the word of the Lord is spirit and it is life? And when we have need of strength, when we come to the word of the Lord, he strengthens us with his power and with his might. And I'm so thankful that, you know, we have this, you know, whether if you're like, let's see, I think, was Nick playing today? I think he was. But, you know, if you're somebody that goes in the gym and works out and you're strengthening yourself, but how many of you know that you can be strengthened with might, with the power of the Holy Ghost? And today, I feel like God wants to strengthen us, and he makes us strong in battle, and he teaches our hands to war. And, you know, of course, we're not fighting against people. This isn't, but we are in a war, and we are in a battle. But I want to tell you today that we're not fighting for victory. Jesus Christ has already won, and the victory, he is the victor, and he always causes us to triumph. It says we are more than conquerors, and he causes us to triumph. And so today, I just feel like the Lord has a word for us today, a word of encouragement, a word of strengthening by the power of his Spirit and by the power of his word. And so I just want you to know today, first of all, the first point is God is for you. And you know, there's so many things when we begin to get up, but I think nothing strengthens my spirit like declaring the word of the Lord. And so the very first scripture that I have them to put up is from Romans 8, a scripture to remind us that God is for you no matter what your circumstances are, and that he withheld nothing to cause you to triumph in that circumstance. And so we see where Paul wrote, "What then shall we say in response to these things?" What things? Whatever your situation is, whatever we see ourselves surrounded, what do we say to these things? You know, sometimes you got to say something to the things that are surrounding you. And this is what we say: if God is for us, who can be against us? Come on. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" Whatever you need, have need of today, you have access through Jesus. "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, and more than that, he was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." I want you to know today that he stands before the Father interceding for us and making intercession. Oh, let's continue. "What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No. And sometimes you just got to say no. You know, sometimes you just got to say no to that voice, no to that circumstance, no to what the doctors are saying, or no to what the media is saying. Sometimes you just got to say no. Why? Because he is for us. And it says, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. How about, it's not just enough that he says we are a conqueror. He says you're more. He adds the adjective more. And how are we conquerors? Through him who loved us. and gave himself, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else, and all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, let's just stop. Thank you, Lord, that you are for us. Thank you that you spared nothing, but you came, and you are for us, and you are with us, and you are fighting for us, and you are interceding. This is how we fight our battles. We know that there is one who is the victor and goes before us, and we thank you, God, that you're with us in all of these things, and nothing separates us from your love. Amen. Boy, if that's enough, that's just the word, but buckle up. I got some good stuff here. Okay. Anyone who knows you knows, I can't help it. It just keeps coming. So the Lord says, I have a word for the weary today. And the first one is God is for you. He's interceding for you, and he has already won the battle. And we're going to look at this scripture. See, the enemy has a different plan for you. In Daniel 7, verse 25 and 27, this is what the enemy does. It says, he will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change the set times and laws. But the holy people will be delivered into his hands for time and times and half a time. But but the court will sit. How many of you know he's still the judge? He still reigns. He's still in control. And his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. And then the sovereignty, the power, and the greatness of all the kingdoms of heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High, and his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all of the rulers will worship and obey him. Amen. I'm going to go back to verse 18 because this is just another declaration of what God has for us. But the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Now I have a question for you today. When did we receive the kingdom of God? What did Jesus say? The kingdom of God is at hand. What did he say to the disciples? I have given you the keys to the kingdom. What did he say? I have given you all authority. When Paul wrote, you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It tells us in the word of God that he disarmed every principality when he triumphed openly on the cross. I want you today, know today, that the kingdom of God rules and reigns, and greater is he that is in you. But I want to tell you something. You know, Pastor exhorted us with, if you do not stand in your faith, stand firm. You will not stand at all. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And if we do not stand in our faith, we will not stand at all. We will be tossed to and fro by every wind that comes. And God today wants to strengthen us with might so that we might stand in his power. And you know, that version says that he comes to oppress. But the King James Version says his goal is to wear down the saints. Does that just kind of feel like, do you feel kind of worn out? Let's just be honest. It's wearing on us, isn't it? It's wearing. And yet, I feel this strengthening that God is doing as we come from battle to battle to battle. It says, blessed are those whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. When they go through the valley of weeping, they make it a pool of refreshing. What's that? That's the Holy Spirit within you. And it's rising up, and it says, they will go from strength to strength. You see, it's up to you how you go. Are you going to go from strength to strength? Are you going to keep going, be weary in battle and get weirier and weaker and weaker and weaker? We today, God is for us, and he wants to strengthen us with might. You see, he says the enemy's goal is to steal, kill, and destroy, but it's also to wear you out. You see, it might not happen in one day, but if he can keep pressing against you, if he can keep pressing. But God has equipped us. He's given us tools. It says that he has given us mighty weapons of warfare. Now, this is in the spirit, whereby we demolish strongholds. Does that sound like we lose? No, we overcome. He says we are more than conquerors, and we overcome what? By the word of the Lord, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto death. We are more than conquerors, and his plan for us. So we see the enemy's plan is to wear us down. And I just felt like the Lord saying, my people are weary and they need the word of the Lord to strengthen them with might today, and that the Spirit will begin to rise up within them and strengthen them. And so I kept thinking when that verse said that it was oppressed, I thought about in Isaiah 9, it's the scripture that prophesies the coming of the Lord. And it says that before it gets to the good part where it says, unto us a child is born, we know that, unto us a son, and Merry Christmas almost already. But I love the part that says, as in the days of Midian's defeat. When do we hear that? When Pastor was preaching on Gideon. This is the days of Midian. And what happened? God raised up Gideon to defeat. And he was a man who thought he was weak. And yet God came and strengthened him to overcome. As in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, and the rod of their oppressor. And I just felt like this, when I read this verse again, I just felt like the Lord wanted us to stop and to take authority and to break. You see, how does that rod of oppression come? It comes in many forms. It comes in depression. It comes in weariness. It comes in sickness. It comes in feeling overwhelmed by your circumstances and all of these things. But the word of the Lord comes and says he shattered that yoke. So, Father, today we come against every plan of the enemy that is wearing down the saints. Father, we rise up in strength, Father, just as we sang about those dry bones. They said our hope is gone and we are cut off, but you said to speak to it. You said speak to those dry bones, Father, and that they would come together and there would be a coming together and your spirit would come. So, Father, we break depression today. We break oppression today. We break the heaviness of every burden. We break the heaviness of financial burdens. We declare that you are our portion and you are more than enough. And, Father, we break the heaviness of all the media and all the news that continually surrounds us. And we look away and we look up. We look up for God is our refuge and our strength. And as we look up, you break the oppression that the enemy is just releasing day after day after day. We say no in the name of Jesus. And we lift up our eyes and the armies of heaven and the Lord of the angel of army hosts is on our side. Amen. So that's point two. The enemy wants to wear you down, but God has given you authority, and you will inherit the kingdom as you rise up in authority. Now notice, you need to rise up in the authority. How do you do that if you don't know? He's given you keys. He told the disciples all authority, but we must learn to use this word as our weapon. Amen? Amen. So the next thing I felt like he wanted me in Galatians, it says, let us not become weary in well-doing, for we shall reap a harvest if we faint not, right? We talked about the laws of sowing and reaping. I mean, we sang about them today when we talked about the seasons and we talked about sowing and reaping. God is faithful. What you sow, you will reap. But you must reap into the Spirit. You must sow into the Spirit. You must sow into the Word of God and sow into the things that he has said in order to reap that. But the word of encouragement comes to us, let us not be weary. Why did God tell us that? Because he knew we would grow weary. He knew we would need encouragement. And so I love the exhortation of Paul when he says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. But he goes a step further than that. He goes to Hebrews 10, and the top of my Bible, it says, it's a call to persevere. And so we're going to see what Paul says. Paul is one who persevered, and we know so many of his stories, and yet he persevered to the very end. And so the call to perseverance by the Apostle Paul says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence, say confidence, to enter in the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, say living, through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, we already talked about that. He's interceding even now. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. La, 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 la. We got the next one here. Oh, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. He goes on to talk to them about what they have already suffered. Well, okay, go ahead. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possessions. So, here we go. Here's the encouragement. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. Say, persevere. So that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And by my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Amen. Amen. We are not like those who shrink back. It doesn't say we don't feel like shrinking back. It says we have confidence. What's our confidence in? That everything's going to be okay? Our confidence is in him, the one who began a good work, that will finish the good work. And so, as you see those scriptures, there's several points that Paul tells us. He says, draw near to God. He says, draw near in confidence. God has opened up a way for us to come boldly with confidence. He says, draw near to him. I love where, I think it's in James, where he says, draw near to me and I will draw near. Make it a priority of your heart to draw near to God in this time. If you come before the Lord, I promise you, for every one step you take, he'll take two towards you. Then the second thing the apostle tells us is hold unswervingly to hope. Now, we haven't heard that unswervingly word for a while, but what does that mean? It means not wavering. It says Abraham faced the fact, and yet he wavered not in unbelief because he knew he who promised was faithful. And the same words are used in this. It says hold unswervingly to hope because he who promised is faithful. It's the same language. It also says to not give up meeting with one another, and to encourage one another. Now, this is kind of where it gets a little tricky because of the whole COVID thing, and I just want to thank you for being here, and I want to thank those of you that are meeting online, because there's different ways that this can work, right? There is nothing like a coming together of the body of Christ. There is a synergy, and just as we come together, there is something in the corporate gathering that brings a strength and an encouragement to one another. But I also want to encourage you that can look like many things. It can look like a phone call. It can look like a Zoom call. I wasn't going to go here, but those of you that know me, I'll just, my dear, 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 feisty, fiery little prayer partner, Marlene, used to sit right here behind me. If you saw the precious woman sat behind me, she went on to be with Jesus. And today, I wasn't even thinking about preaching, and all of a sudden I just felt like the Lord giving me these words about weariness and strengthening. But I just thought, oh, if there is nothing more that characterizes Marlene's life than perseverance and endurance, and that she pressed on, and today she is beholding all that she pursued. She fought the fight, she finished the race, and there was laid up for her a crown. And I forget there was a scripture why I was even going to say that. Encourage one another, that's what it was. So I have not seen her for probably 8 or 9 months because of COVID, but we have had Zoom for those of you. I know we have prayer on Thursday mornings, we have prayer on Wednesday evenings, but we had a Zoom call of powerful intercessors. And so for the first couple of months, every day of the week, we had Zoom prayer and intercession, and I would see her little face on the screen, and just that fiery little woman was, and you know, outwardly she was perishing, but inwardly she was being renewed, and she knew what was eternal, and she would just, but I got to see her because we connected on Zoom. So I'm saying that to say, encourage one another, strengthen one another. Ephesians talks about the body of Christ not being wavered, but coming together and strengthening as each joint supplies strength. We strengthen one another. If you think, oh, it doesn't matter if I'm not there, if I go or whatever, they won't miss me. Not true. You carry something that we need in the body of Christ. And however that happens, if it's a Zoom call, I just saw her probably a week and a half ago on that little screen, and I could feel the presence of God through her prayers. Encourage one another. Find a way to get together. Find a way to encourage someone else, okay? Be a strength and an encouragement. So Paul says to encourage, the fourth thing he says is stand your ground. He says stand firm in the Lord. You know, sometimes the only thing you can do is stand. Paul wrote, having done all, stand. And sometimes that's all we can do is say, Lord, the battle's yours, but I'm going to take my place, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to worship, and this is how I'm going to fight my battle. Amen? The fifth thing he said is to persevere, and we know that this means endurance. The Apostle Paul tells us, I think it's James, it says, perseverance must finish its work. Well, first of all, he says, take all joy when you have fiery trials, because testing produces perseverance. And then he goes on to say, perseverance must finish its work that the saints of God may be mature. And this is what I really see in this season. I feel like this is a very defining hour, and I actually think that you're going to even see dividing lines in the church between those who persevere and those who continue to persevere. But I see this, that when we perseverance produces maturity. You know, we're such a society that we like, you know, we order something and we don't even want to wait in the drive-through line. You know, we want it right away. But it takes perseverance. It takes perseverance. You know, when Moses came to Pharaoh, he promised he would deliver them. And I think even in the situation we find ourselves in this spiritual battle, even in our nation, you know, we think there's that word, and it's just going to happen. But what would happen? When Pharaoh's heart was hardened, what happened? Moses kept going back. He kept going back, going back, going back. But God prevailed in the end. It takes perseverance that produces maturity in us. Let's grow up, church. It's time for us to grow up. And this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we find out who we really are. And you know what? We are hidden in him. He is our help in time of trouble. And finally, he says, do not shrink back. And when I get to the end of that chapter, I am always like, I'm kind of like, by nature, non-confrontational. I know that's hard to believe when you see me up here, or those of you that saw me like raising my kids and, you know, being very authoritative. But in the natural, relationally, I'm really non-confrontational. But when I read this and I say that we are not like those who shrink back, I am like, oh, no, we are not. There is a rising up. There is a resurrection power. And you know what? It doesn't come because I feel like it. It comes because the Spirit of God in me begins to rise up. And you know what? That doesn't happen maybe until I begin to read this and I begin to stir it up. Or maybe I need to come together with another sister. And maybe I'm not feeling it. But all of a sudden, something that she says, like when I walked in today and Denise was saying, oh Lord, I pray for those who are weary today. And I'm like, yes Lord, that's what you want to do. So come, these are the tools that God has given us to not shrink back. And so I just want to look at a story of how David encouraged himself in the time of battle. In 1 Samuel 30, we go to this scripture. This is before David was king. And we know that there was a great battle between Saul and David until David was king. This battle came right before Saul died and David was crowned king. So this is like the final marking point before he crosses over into his destiny. But he doesn't know this. He's in the midst of this battle. And it says that for all of these years, it says, the house of David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. You see, things don't just happen overnight. There was battle after battle. And every one of those battles was a testing place to not only develop and mature David, but that he would be the king that God had. It was a testing of his heart. Every time we come into places of testing, it will prove who you are in Christ, and you have a choice. So we see that this battle rages on, and they come into this time, and it's a big story about the Philistines and Saul and who David's going to align with. But they go into battle, and they defeat the Philistines, but they come back. And the Amalekites have taken everything. And this is where we find David. We find that the men are angry, their wives and children are gone. Everything that they fought for is gone. Hope is gone. Everything seems lost. Everything is like it's over, it's finished, it's lost. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. I want you to see here, there we are in times where we are greatly distressed. When we see what's around us, we are grieved. We are greatly distressed. The burden comes on, like we talked about, is as in the days of Midian. But let's see. Okay. He was greatly distressed, and it says, for the soul of the people was grieved. Do you see that this is a deeper type of grieving than just like they were sad? Their souls, their very mind and soul was grieved. And that's what happens when we get all of this negativity continually. Our souls are grieved, aren't they? And this is not the place God wants us to live in. But it says, and I love this, it's the King James Version that says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes there's no one standing with you. And this is a place, this is the defining moment when God said, oh yeah, it's time. It's time for you to be crowned. It's time for you to walk in authority. When there's no one around you, let me tell you, this is a qualifier for leadership. If you can stand when every other voice is against you and they want to disown him and there was maybe even false accusation and all these things, but he went before his God, and he encouraged himself. And the NIV says, David strengthened himself. And I thought about this, and I thought, how did David strengthen himself? And I thought, if you need strength, get in the book of Psalms. You can't turn page by page without walking through one of his trials and walking through the ups and downs where he sometimes felt very overwhelmed, but he would declare, God is my refuge and my strength. He would declare all of these things. And so we're just going to go to, you could just pick almost any one of the Psalms. But we're going to go to Psalm 27 to see one of the declarations of David. If you need a declaration in this time to strengthen yourself, here's one of the ones that I love. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You want to break fear in your life? You begin to declare the word of the Lord. The Lord is my light, and darkness will not dispel it. The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What is the stronghold? It's the hiding place. It's the place of battle. It's the place of victory. And when the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Now, I'm not talking about, like, you know, real warfare here, but there's enemies to your soul, and it's sickness, and it's lack, and it's depression, and it's wrong thinking, and sometimes it's our own selves. But when you begin to declare that God is greater than any enemy that you are facing, though an army besiege me, this reminds me of Elisha when he looked up, the armies were all around, but he looked up and saw the armies of heaven were greater. My heart will not fear. Say that to yourself. My heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing, now this is really key here. One thing I ask from the Lord, what do you do when you're afraid? What do you do when you're overwhelmed? I will seek that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high on a rock. These are all battle strategies. God is your defense, and we hide ourselves in him. And then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me, and at his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. And I know Pastor Adam preached last week about how they put the singers forth in battle, and the Lord began to send confusion to the camp of the enemy. If you're in the middle of a battle, you begin to lift your eyes, and when you begin to release that praise, the Lord begins to release the angel armies on behalf of you and on behalf. And yeah, I was just thinking about this. Nick and I were having a conversation about he had someone that he was ministering to, and they had some different brain chemistry issue things going on that were very negative, and it was just bad. I didn't say that very eloquently, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, he knew that the man needed a physical healing, but there were also elements in the spiritual realm. And Nick had, like, having done all stand, Nick had just had it for the day. It was like, I can't take this anymore. And they said, well, you know, there's a piano over there. Why don't you go over? And you know what? He began, as only Nick can do, with a fill the room, fill the room, fill the room, fill the room. Holy Spirit, fill the room, fill the room. Let's just do it 1 minute. Fill the room, fill the room. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, fill the room, fill the room. And when he began to lift up the voice of the Lord, do you know that the brain that significantly improved 25% in just that one day? The battle was turned. And I have a scripture that we're going to go to where it says, he gives strength to those who turn the battle at the gate. But sometimes it's just a lifting of your voice, a lifting of your head, a declaring of the Lord is my refuge and my strength. And he goes on. And then did we do verses 13? Let's go to 13 and 14. In that psalm, it says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. David declares his confidence. Paul declares his confidence. Where is our confidence today? Is our confidence in a good news report or a good doctor's report? No, it's not. And you know, those of you who know this, I probably share this, I don't know, maybe once a week with someone. Just this week, I had the opportunity to share again. One time I was walking through some situations, and they were kind of shaking me. And the Lord said to me, is your confidence in that situation that there's no failure or no mistakes or anything like that? And I was like, no, Lord. And he said, then what is your confidence in? Is your confidence in me to finish what I've started? And we must hold on to hope that our confidence is in him to finish what he started. And what does it say? Wait. And it all goes further than saying wait. It says wait in hope. And so I want to encourage you. We're going to go to Psalm 40 right now. In Isaiah 35, he talks about, we are going to Isaiah 40, I'm sorry, but Isaiah 35 talks about, strengthen the steady hands and the feeble ones that grow weary, and say to the fearful, your God will come. Today, I want you to know, if you're feeling unsteady, if you're feeling feeble, we all do. It's okay. It's the reality. We're not like this whole faith realm where we don't deny the facts. It says Abraham faced, and yet he wavered not in unbelief. And so when we come to this place where we find ourselves, it says strengthen those that are feeble, those that are weary, and strengthen them by saying, your God will come. David's expectation was that God would come. And I'm going to read one more verse in Isaiah before we go to... Did I give you Isaiah 28:6? I think I did. Thank you. I'm sorry, we're going to go to this because we're going to end with Isaiah 40. I love this scripture and just prayed this so often lately. He will be a spirit of justice to the one who sits in judgment and a source of strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. I'm telling you, we are at the gates where the battles are being turned. What are they? They are places where we come into, they're strongholds, they are places of authority, and we must begin to speak to those and speak like, the, you know, open up you gates, the King of Glory comes in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty in battle. God wants to turn the battle, but he must have people who will stand on the front lines and declare that God is with them and God is for them and they are more than conquerors because of him who gave his life. And so we stand and we turn back the battle. Whatever you're praying for, whatever promise you're expecting, David waited in expectation, and we're crying out for justice. It says he will sit in judgment for those who need, he will be justice for those who sit in judgment, and he will be strength for those that are in the middle of a battle. And finally, we see where Isaiah, oh, don't you just love Isaiah? I could just like, you know, we could just start reading the book of Isaiah, huh? But how much is this, how comforting is this in the word of the Lord and where we find ourselves? Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from God, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know and have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, and he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Let's just stop right there. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves that he's not weary. He's not tired. He's still on the throne. He does hear. You know, sometimes you feel like, oh my goodness, where is God in all of this, in all of this? Guess what? He's still on the throne. He still rules and reigns, and he is for you. He is for you. He is for you. And when we begin to believe that and we begin to declare the word of the Lord, we say, yes, Lord, I believe that you're for me. Yes, Lord, I believe that you don't grow tired or weary. And he says, do you not know and have? Oh, we already read that. So after we say that, it says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even young youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. This is our promise today. But what does it say? It says, those that wait, those that hope in expectation. You see, we must today allow the spirit of hope to rise up in us. That God is on the throne. He does not grow weary. He has a plan. He will bring us into it. But today, he makes provision for us. He says, you know what? I give strength to the weary. I give power to the weak. He says, you know what? It doesn't matter how strong you are. A king isn't saved by the size of his army. The battle isn't to the swift. What's the second part? Or strong. I know. I just lost the other word. But or to the strong. But we know that though we grow weary, there is a place that we can come, a stronghold. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? There is a place that we can come and we say, oh, God, I'm in need today of some strength. I'm in need today. I'm weak today. And you're going to give me power, Lord. You're going to give me power. So let's just stand up and let's just position our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that our confidence is in you today. We thank you, Lord, that you're the author and the finisher, that you're still writing the pages of our story. We thank you that you are for us. We thank you that you cause us to triumph in all things, God. So we turn our heart towards you. We say, the Lord is our refuge and strength. Of whom shall we be afraid? We say, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. We speak to our souls, Lord. We say, put your trust in God. The Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. Lord, today we're a needy people. We raise our hands before you today. We position ourselves to receive fresh strength. We position ourselves for fresh power to the weak and strength to the weary. We thank you that you've opened up a way. We enter boldly with confidence, Lord. And I say right now in the name of Jesus, be strengthened with might in the inner man. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells within you. Father, I pray an awakening to every spirit, every soul to hear your voice. A word to the weary one. When you wake in the morning, you're going to hear the word of the Lord clearly. When you turn to him, when you draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. Father, I declare strength today. Strength to the weary today. Strengthen us. Strengthen the feeble hands and the feeble knees that hang down. Strengthen us, O Lord. We fix our eyes on you that we might endure until we see the joy of your promise. And Father, I pray today, power to the weak. Holy Spirit, come now. I pray a fresh baptism of the Spirit. Those of you that have your prayer language, just begin to pray in the Spirit. We thank you, Father, that you tell us when we pray in the Spirit, we build ourselves up like an edifice. We're building ourselves up in the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, I pray for a fresh baptism on those, Lord, those who are seeking you. Father, I pray fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit as never before, Lord, that you would raise up a people who will walk in authority and power and be strengthened with might by the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the work of the cross. I thank you for the work of the cross. Today, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know this one that is our refuge and our strength and our help, the one who goes and makes intercession, that means if you don't, that's kind of church talk, but it means, you know what? He's taken your sins, he's taken your burdens, and he's going to the Father, and he's saying, oh, Father, I shed my blood so that they don't have to be punished. They don't have to bear the consequences of the sins of their lives. If you don't know this Jesus, he's a loving God, and he has made provision for you to come boldly to God because of his death. So is there anyone today that would like to pray and receive this wonderful, wonderful help in time of trouble? Anyone who has need of Jesus today? If you raise your hand, one, two, three, anyone? Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you that we can enter in. Now, as I pray this prayer, I want, if the prayer team would come forward. If you have need of healing today, I want you to come forward. Maybe come to the middle if you have need of healing. If you have need, if you feel oppressed and burdened and the weightedness of this season, if you just feel like that yoke is on you heavy and you need that yoke broken, I want you to come to this side for prayer. If you want that broken, the heaviness that we're experiencing in this season. And finally, if those of you that want to be strengthened with might, how many of you say there's more? There's more. You know, even those of you that have been filled with the Spirit, you know, God continually fills. It says, be filled with the Spirit. If you're seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or you would like to just have a fresh encounter with the Lord, if you want to come to this thing. And so let me pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we have access of everything that we have need of because of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you're meeting people right where they are. You give strength to the weary and power to the weak. Bless them as they go today. May they draw near to you in confidence, and may they be strengthened, Lord, in this time. Thank you that God is for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you.